listening to Civic Media News special coverage of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz campaigning in Eau Claire. All eyes in the political world on Eau Claire right now. Representatives of, you have the top of the ticket for the Democrats. You have the running mate for the Republicans. All in Eau Claire this afternoon, and a lot of attention being paid to Wisconsin, as it will, between now and the November election. A very important state and a very important time. I'm Terry Bell of Civic Media News here on the Todd Aubaugh Show with Luke Mathers and Trigvi Olson, and we're getting set for the vice president's remarks, which are scheduled to happen any time now, but of course these things rarely go off on schedule, although all our indications are that the program is moving right along north of Eau Claire at the former Country Fest grounds.
Correct. And we've got Bon Iver, who just wrapped up, it seems, at the event. Todd Aubaugh and Civic Media, or Up North News, Pat Kreitlow, are there at the event. They're covering the vice president and her running mates, Tim Walz, comments coming up to you, and we're going to be bringing those comments to you live here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, talking about the importance of Western Wisconsin, kind of the overlap between the state that Walz represents in Minnesota and the blending of the Western Wisconsin and Minnesota culture. Very similar vibes, but not completely the same. Your thoughts on the fact that this here is the second rally for the two candidates running together after we saw in the conclusion last month of President Joe Biden, then the Democratic presumptive nominee, stepping back and saying he would not seek his party's nomination, and Vice President Kamala Harris becoming the presumptive Democratic nominee, her first event in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We're seeing a lot of the candidates coming here, as Terry alluded to. J.D. Vance, the vice presidential nominee for the Republicans, also in Western Wisconsin today. Just the magnitude of what's going on there in Western Wisconsin and the importance of these candidates coming to voters that may be the ones to decide the presidential election.
Aaron, can we get confirmation that Melissa Kay is on the line with us? She is, and she is outside the J.D. Vance press conference. And Melissa, can you give us a sense of what the mood is where you're at?
Hi, Terry. I'm here in the industrial park, Willard International, where J.D. Vance and his caravan just arrived. There was a crowd of about 100 people out here that were waiting for his arrival. The overall mood, I would say, is disappointment that they were not allowed in. This was apparently a private event, and everything that people that came saw online was the doors open at 11, and he gives remarks at 1. So people are pretty disappointed that they wouldn't be able to come in, but the hardcore ones definitely stayed and showed their support.
Do you have any sense, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, do you have any idea what the running mate, the senator plans to say today in Eau Claire?
No, there was zero indication of what he was going to talk about. I think that there was one lady I spoke with early on, about 11:30 here this morning, who took off work to be able to be here today because she was actually invited to come and then was told that she couldn't get in. And she gave me a short interview and said that she had really hoped to be able to, you know, give some question and answer time, as it was indicated to her, and to get to know him a little better. But she was invited and then told she couldn't attend.
Oh, that is that's a surprising development. Melissa Kay, our Wisconsin Rapids Bureau Chief. Melissa, thanks so much for all your hard work today.
Yep, you're welcome, guys.
Okay,
thank you. Appreciate it, Melissa.
So we don't have any advanced copy of J.D. Vance's remarks. I can guess they're going to be very similar to what we've been hearing in the last 24 hours or so. Phrases that I keep hearing repeated is, radical left agenda and that sorts of things. It'll remains to be seen whether that kind of rhetoric will hold up with voters, but that's what we're hearing so far.
It doesn't seem to be advancing the cause at the moment.
Well, and one of the comments I saw with the news yesterday of Governor Tim Walz being the pick for the vice presidential running mate of Kamala Harris, the comments were that from Senator Vance that the Harris team bent the knee to the left, and some form of reference to the fact that Walz was chosen over Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, seeming to try, as Terry, you've alluded to, painting this radical left brush for the governor from Minnesota. He seems to be taking a lot of those attacks, Trigvi, pretty well in stride. In the lead up to the being picked as the vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris, there were interviews several times that Governor Walz did saying, hey, I'm not going to apologize for putting food into kids' bellies and making sure that they were fed going to school. It's going to be interesting to see, and your thoughts as a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, if these attacks of painting Walz as a far leftist radical, you think those are going to strike with the campaigns?
You know, I think they're to be expected. I think they're going to have a hard time doing that with Walz to a degree, as much as it matters. I mean, VP picks typically matter only around the edges. But the bottom line is, you know, Tim Walz is a hunting guy. He's a gun guy. But he's a gun guy who says, you know, we need to be responsible in terms of addressing some of the things that are happening at schools from time to time. I think they're going to have a hard time doing that. I really, really do. But, you know, obviously, they're going to say it, and they're going to say it, and they're going to say it, and hope that it sticks. I just think, you know, in the places where Walz will matter from an electoral standpoint, in places like La Crosse or St. Croix or Polk counties, you know, the places that see him more often as governor, I just don't think that's going to be the case. And quite frankly, you know, when you think about the race in Wisconsin, it really comes down to Democratic turnout in Milwaukee and Dane County versus the suburbs and Brown for Republicans. And then it's going to come down to those states, I mean, those counties that touch I-94. And if you live in Eau Claire or La Crosse, or quite frankly, in Hudson, you're going to see a lot of presidential and vice presidential contenders, both on your TV and literally in your communities.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
It's going to be very interesting to see that those communities along I-94. Also, the president, Joe Biden, he has been facing those attacks. He had a similar retort, not exactly the same vein as Governor Tim Walz, but more along the lines of, well, if you think that I am a radical leftist socialist, his response was, I beat the socialists. In reference to Senator Bernie Sanders. And so it will be interesting to see if those punches that the campaigns will be sending of trying to paint the vice presidential pick for the Democratic Party as a far leftist socialist, if they land or not. But I believe, as you pointed out, Tim Walz used to have an A rating from the NRA. And it was something that he had as a centrist Democrat from a rural area in Minnesota, and as he as a father, you alluded to, Trigvi, as we were with Todd Alba here on the program a little bit earlier. He's a girl dad. His daughter, after the Parkland shooting, said that he needs to do more in addressing the gun violence that students are facing. And as a former teacher, he donated the camp. Campaign contributions that he had previously received from the NRA, and now is a very, very common sense approach saying, I'm a gun owner, I hunt, I believe he's made several references to pheasant and other hunting that he does in Minnesota. And so it's going to be interesting to see folks trying to paint a pheasant hunter from rural Minnesota as the far left, but it will be very interesting as these campaign attack ads really heat up over the next 90 days. I thought we were watching the stage there, and it looked like somebody was about to
check. It looks like there's a lot of excitement up there.
Yes.
I think that's a familiar face, I believe, at the podium. That may be Ben Wickler, if I'm not mistaken, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, but I can zoom in closer, and in fact, is not.
It is not. No, but, nope.
Another bearded person.
I was just saying, they were just testing, but they were getting close here. Folks, you were listening to special coverage. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, speaking in Western Wisconsin this afternoon. We will be bringing those remarks to you live here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Todd Alba as he is live on location there in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, joined by Terry Bell, news director for Civic Media here in the world headquarters, high above State Street, and joined as well by Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It's going to be an interesting campaign cycle here, Terry. One of the aspects that a lot have talked about in the recent month since the top of the ticket change for the Democratic nomination is it's too short of a campaign. It's too soon to the election kind of remarks saying, well, you already had a primary. You can't just change the top of the ticket like that. A 90-day, 100-day, 110-day window, very common for other countries. Your thoughts as somebody who's covered a lot of these presidential races in the past, what do you believe that's going to mean for a condensed cycle this year?
Well, what may happen, and I read an article this morning that said that if Harris wins, we may see shorter election cycles in the future. Usually they start right after the midterms for president. If Harris is successful, candidates and parties may take a step back and say, do we need this grind and this expense for a year and a half when we can do it inside of a year? And so that will be the interesting thing for me to follow, for me to see whether it bears out, is whether or not campaigns get shorter. I'll tell you, voters, I'm guessing, probably would be very much in favor of that. It seems like we live in a world of constant campaign mode. And frankly, I think it's part of what's turning people off about participating in
election
the system.
Fatigue.
Exactly. Yes, yes. And then we seem to be living with it year-round. Every year.
Well, I don't want to scare you or not, but we do have a state Supreme Court race that will be coming up in February.
That's quite true.
And April of 2025.
And so, stakes will be exactly the same as they were last year.
Here in Wisconsin, no sign of letting up for that election fatigue. Trygve, your thoughts on how this condensed political cycle will have an effect on future political cycles?
You know, I'm not sure that it will have much. I mean, I think it was kind of an extenuating set of circumstances that led to what we saw. Now, did it work out well for the Democratic Party? It appears that it did. But I don't know that structurally, really, things are set up in such a way to have this become more of the norm. I think the bigger piece of the 24-hour news cycle and everything is breaking news and every battle is existential, some of that resides in the reality that we've had a group of people who've discovered that political extremism is a great media model. You can make a lot of money if you have 10% of the people outraged all the time because they're going to tune in nonstop. And hopefully we can move a little bit away from that element of it, because I think that's what makes people feel like they're having to live it all the time.
Yes, it will definitely be interesting to see if it is an exception to the rules, or if we're going to see any changes long term, or if it is we've been hearing for a very long time that the cycle is going to break, that the fever was going to break for a lot of the political extremism that we've been seeing in the buildup of the last several years. But all signs do point that extremism is definitely still on the ballot this November. So it will be interesting with the November's results of what will occur beyond that. Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Todd Alba as he is live on location attending the event in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Vice President Kamala Harris and her newly announced running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, going to be taking the stage shortly there in Western Wisconsin. I'm joined by Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, and Trygve Olsen of the Lincoln Project. And it is shaping up to be, I think, a little bit a larger event than what is also going on in Eau Claire. As Melissa Kay was reporting just moments ago with us, Terry, I don't have an official headcount, but it looks from all accounts, this is a fairly sizable event taking place there in Western Wisconsin.
One of the few and one of the first outdoor events for the Democrats that I can recall. Donald Trump was fond of having them outdoors up until the assassination attempt. I'm not aware of any rallies since then that have been held outdoors. But this is a bit of an anomaly for the Democratic ticket. But I think it's part of the rollout of Tim Walz, part of the introduction of Tim Walz to the American voters, and a lot of excitement in Eau Claire, as we've mentioned a few times on the show. Western Wisconsin is practically Tim Walz country. If you live in Western Wisconsin, people live and work across the border. People have family across the border. It's very much one part of the world there, and so this is a homecoming of sorts for him. And also, a lot of excitement among people who want to be excited about this ticket in Western Wisconsin. And anecdotally, the crowd images that we've been seeing online and on social media would back that up. One on X, there was a photo of a line of cars purportedly a mile and a half long on the way to the event, if that gives you any idea.
Yes, John Nichols, the reporter for The Nation magazine, joined Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow earlier in the 12 o'clock hour this afternoon, saying that folks were reportedly saying they waited in line for about an hour and a half to get into the venue. So it definitely, the stream that we are currently watching for the event shows a sizable crowd there in the country, the former Country Ground Music Fest grounds there, just north of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And folks, if you're just joining us now and you did not hear, we also have news out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin this afternoon. We've got the latest Marquette polling, the first Marquette University Law School poll since the change of the top of the ticket for the Democratic Party. And we've got a pretty dead even heat, Terry, when it comes to the polling done by Marquette Law School. Your thoughts and the top lines provided by Marquette earlier today.
Well, we have among registered voters and likely voters a 1-point lead for Donald Trump in each category of 50-49. That's a virtual dead heat. That is well within the poll's margin of error. But perhaps more interestingly, as Trigvi pointed out, that represents a sizable bump that Kamala Harris had compared to what Joe Biden was polling right before he dropped out of the race. And that would be consistent with what we're seeing in other polls, especially in battleground states. This has become a real race again after, it seems to have flattened out before the Biden announcement of a couple of weeks ago. And
interestingly enough, having the numbers too of what the respondents to this poll would have said had the matchup stayed Biden Trump.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it does change the dynamic of the race.
I can't imagine that there's too many pollsters out there that have that opportunity to say, hey, we're in the midst of a pretty monumental switch of the top of the tickets for one of the two major party nominees. And it's one of those things where I think the 3 weeks leading up from the June 27th debate to President Joe Biden's decision to no longer seek his party's nomination was a lot of, well, we don't know what the alternative would be. And we kind of get a chance to see in the snapshot poll from Marquette University Law School the difference of where we would have gone, the road less traveled with had Biden stayed in the race. So I think that very interesting numbers coming out of Marquette.
Yeah, and also the poll does show it seems as though that Senator Tammy Baldwin is extending her lead over challenger Eric Hovde. That would be the other big takeaway from today's polls. Looking for the exact numbers, but that is what I understand.
I believe 53-47 was what I saw on the top.
53-46.
46. Trigvi, your response
amongst registered voters. So, Luke, your point about Biden and where we'd be, I mean, the reality is, and I do quite a bit of survey research for other stuff that I do, it was abundantly clear because we tracked this in places like Wisconsin post-debate. There was this 4-6% that really was uncomfortable with both candidates and were definitely not going to vote for Trump, had voted for Biden in the past. They tend to be more right of center. They're back in Tammy Baldwin. After the debate, Biden's numbers just eroded amongst those people and amongst the intensity of his base. And it was clear those voters, the lift, and it probably was impossible for Biden to get those people back. Just too many of them were going to say, I'm not voting for either of them. Harris changed that entire dynamic.
And I've Walls, seen comments,
I think, furthers it.
And I've seen comments, Trigvi, since the change at the top of the ticket there from the Harris campaign saying that if they lose this election, it is not because they lost it to Donald Trump, but instead they lost it to people sitting the election out. And so it's going to be very interesting 100%. To see how voters are responding. This first Marquette University Law School polling gives us a little bit of a sampling of it, but it, as we alluded to as well, very condensed cycle with these two candidates, the Harris-Trump matchup at the top of the ticket. And we are going to hear from Vice President Kamala Harris and her selected running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, coming up shortly. Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers. We've got Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow live on location, along with Civic Media news reporter James Kelly. I'm joined here in the studio by Civic Media's news director Terry Bell, as well as Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, covering the events in Western Wisconsin this afternoon. You're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Terry, after today's event, it seems the vice president and her running mate Walz are going to be heading to a number of other battleground states. Wisconsin, yes, we like to wear it as a badge of honor that we are kind of that political yeah. center of the universe. Oh, yeah. But we are not the only stop for this trip across the swing states. Harris and Walz are going to be visiting, I believe, Michigan this afternoon, and then on to other battleground states that before this the change of the top of the ticket seemed like they may not be battleground states. There was going to be a narrowing of how many states were going to be up for contention for this presidential race come November. But North Carolina, Georgia, and then I believe Arizona and Nevada as well, all on this list that Harris and Walz will be visiting in the coming days. Your thoughts on the ticket going to these battleground states and trying to expand the map beyond just the Midwestern, quote-unquote, blue wall of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
I'm glad you mentioned the blue wall. One analyst I heard said that really if Harris wins Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, that she would have enough electoral votes to win. But it's probably smart on their part to think beyond that blue wall, to be getting into places like you mentioned, Arizona, Nevada, and out east that our swing states, pick those up, you know, get that cushion, so to speak, so that, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, incredibly important, but you don't want to leave anything to chance. And so that's why we're seeing this ticket going to so many places and, riding this wave of goodwill while it lasts. And we'll see how long it will last beyond, the next couple of weeks. You know, campaigns slog on, surprises come up. We don't know what we're going to find out in the next week or two about any of the candidates, and that could change things quite a bit. So, they're riding the wave of goodwill for Tim Walz while it lasts, and that's a smart thing to do.
One of the things we don't know yet if there will be is a vice presidential debate or a second presidential debate this cycle. We've seen former President Donald Trump take a step back from the September 10th debate that he had agreed to with President Biden. And it seems like there is not yet set in stone, just with the recency of the announcement of Tim Walz being the vice presidential selection, if we're going to have dates and specifics for debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. Trigvi, your thoughts on whether or not we're going to be getting some debates this cycle, and if or whether or not the Harris team is going to agree to, say, a Fox News debate that the former president, Donald Trump, is suggesting be in replacement of the ABC debate.
So I think, it's one of the issues that we have is for decades, the Presidential Debate Commission made the worked in a bipartisan way to make it happen. The Republican Party pulled out of that. You now kind of have the free for all of candidates directly negotiating with each other. I can't imagine a scenario, given that Trump agreed to go on ABC, that Harris campaign is going to accept going on Fox News. I just don't see that happening. I think there will eventually be a presidential debate, one more, just because the pressure to see it is going to be great. It probably will be the ABC one. Vice presidential debates, you know, yeah, I can't imagine we won't have one. But you never know. I mean, because it's uncharted ground without that check of the Presidential Debate Commission. And the death of that is really kind of sad. It was imperfect, but it was compromise.
Yes, and one of the remarks from the Republican, I believe the RNC itself, post the convention in Milwaukee, saying that they would not agree to a vice presidential debate quite yet because they did not know who Vice President Kamala Harris was going to be choosing as her running mate. Kind of made in jest at the time, Trigvi, but a little bit different political landscape that we all live in now, as opposed to those final days of the Republican National Convention that wrapped up in Milwaukee last month.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast all that kind of transpired. Right.
Well, like, yeah, it's definitely whether or not that individual for the Republican party decided that they may have willed it into existence. We'll never know that or not, but it is very, very strange that that is the events that unfolded the way that they did.
If I were the chancellor of Eau Claire or La Crosse or Stevens Point, I'd probably be reaching out to major news organizations and saying, hey, we'd love to host a presidential debate. Let's try and convince him to show up.
And right? I believe UW Milwaukee hosting one of those presidential debates back in the 2020 cycle leading right. up to that election. So definitely something that could be on the table here in Wisconsin, the possibility of hosting any of those potential debates that could arise. We are now going to be joined by civic media reporter James Kelly, who is on the scene live at location there in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. James, what is the scene there at the event like?
Well, there is a lot of excitement, and it's growing pretty quickly. We had a little musical performance earlier, and now we're just kind of waiting for the actual show to begin.
Any word, James, of any developments as far as, you know, what we can expect to hear today or anything that's come through that that we haven't learned in the past half hour or so here at the studio?
You know, we haven't learned anything new here, I would have to imagine, given what Eau Claire is facing right now with the healthcare crisis, that is going to be somewhat of a topic that gets covered, even, you know, nationwide. Access to affordable health care in rural areas, that's a big issue that's affecting a lot of communities, and especially here right now with two hospitals being lost. So I would imagine that's something that will get covered at some point, and I'm sure Governor Walz is going to have a lot to say about the relationship between Wisconsin and Minnesota.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but have there been any word about crowd estimates coming your way?
You know, I heard a few people talking in the thousands, and it looks pretty accurate to me. There's a main stage area here with rafters that are completely full, and there's a general admission area that's right in front of in stage, also completely full. And then if you go around the corner from where the stage is, it looks like an absolute sea of blue signs, everybody really excited, everybody cheering. There are a lot of people here.
That's for sure. Thank you. James Kelly, Civic Media's Chippewa Valley Bureau Chief, on the scene. He's there with Todd Aba and Pat Kreitlow. I'll get it right. I have a communications degree.
I was struggling with Pat's name myself as well as going. And James, we'll make sure that Terry doesn't send you on assignment to get an official head count by going around with a clicker or anything like that.
Hey, whatever you guys need, if we want an official head count, I'll start counting.
Thanks, James. Yeah, we are still, the last word is that this is supposed to have happened about 20 minutes ago, so we're not quite sure what the delay is about, but I'm sure it's for a perfectly good reason. A lot of people patient might as well be outside on a day like today. The weather is absolutely gorgeous.
Much better
for early August.
Yeah, much better today than any of the point last week, because I cannot imagine being out there. But definitely a sizable crowd in Western Wisconsin. Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are covering the events of Vice President Kamala Harris attending a rally announcing from her pick yesterday of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. It is a sizable event in Western Wisconsin. The president, the vice president, and the governor's response coming shortly here. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director here in the headquarters in Madison. We've got Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board and are joined by Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. Leading up to these events, it is going to be an interesting political cycle. There is no shortage of surprises. If you told us a month ago that this was going to be the Democratic ticket being announced yesterday in Philadelphia and campaigning today here in Western Wisconsin, it would have been hard to believe, but it is one of those things where things move quickly. We're covering these events as they occur. So you want to download the Civic Media app. Be sure to take us with you wherever you go. You can stay in the know when it comes to breaking news. And we will be taking the remarks live for the vice president and her running mate coming up shortly. Trigvi, before we were joined there by James, we were discussing the swing states and the all likelihood of the expanded map that there may be now with the change at the top of the ticket. Your thoughts on the other states that these two candidates will be heading out to and apparently tailed by a Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance when it comes to events later in the week in states like Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada.
Yeah, those are all, you know, at the end of the day, it really comes down to three states: Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. If Kamala Harris wins those states, she in all likelihood is going to end up being elected. If she wins a state like Georgia, she's probably going to have won those other three. Arizona is also to a degree on the list, and Nevada, North Carolina maybe a little bit. But the truth of the matter is most of the action is going to be Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, Arizona. And you see that with the VP picks of both candidates, and that's just really where it's going to be. You know, what's different about the race with Harris in it, could you have a situation where states like North Carolina or Georgia are much more competitive? Yeah, absolutely. Whereas with Biden, quite frankly, if the map was going to get bigger, it probably was going to get bigger in places like Minnesota and places where Trump was having an advantage. So at this point, you know, I think the race either stays really close, which is the most likelihood, and it's going to come down then to places like Western Wisconsin, certain parts of Michigan and Pennsylvania, or you could have a situation where Harris ends up, you know, getting a bigger lead, and then you start seeing Trump have to defend turf that's unexpected. And we should know that by early September, where the race is sort of sitting.
Okay, so if things are still really close, one of the scenarios for the electoral map that had been arising a little bit more, I believe, back when the matchup was still former President Trump versus President Biden, was the scenario of the sole electoral vote in Nebraska that is independent and votes off individually, the Omaha, Nebraska, I believe, area. Part of that was coming into contention of we had Republican state officials in Nebraska floating the idea of not allowing that sole electoral vote to be able to be independent. Governor Tim Walz, originally a Nebraska native, do you believe some of those concerns about whether or not Republicans can pick up that district in Nebraska, do you think that gets subsided by the pick in Tim Walz with the native son on the ticket, or do you believe some of those concerns still arise in the party politics played around that sole electoral vote?
It is the Omaha. It's the Omaha congressional district. It's not Bacon's seat. It's University of Nebraska, which, you know, a lot of these university areas are kind of swing areas now. I don't know that, you know, in when Biden was on the ticket, it was abundantly clear that the race was going to potentially be a referendum on Biden, and that was not a good thing. Probably was the one way that Trump could win. I think you're going to see less discussion about one electoral vote in Nebraska, and you're going to see a lot more discussion about is Georgia in play, and how close Georgia is or how close North Carolina is than that, which would have been the case with Biden in, because quite frankly, the Biden team was really scraping to get any electoral votes that they could because they had such problems in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, it will be interesting to see, as we have today here in Wisconsin, some of the first polling since the vice president, Kamala Harris, has taken over as the presumptive Democratic nominee. We will have more polling coming out as the ticket is being formed, as it was yesterday in Pennsylvania, of being a Harris-Walls ticket. Folks, you are listening to Civic Media special event coverage. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by Terry Bell, news director for the Civic Media Radio Network, as well as Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We are going to be covering the remarks coming from Vice President Kamala Harris and her newly selected running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, coming up momentarily. We are watching the events as they unfold in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this afternoon. We will bring you those remarks live when the two take the stage. And anything stick out to you, Terry, from the remarks as their first campaign event held at Temple University in Philadelphia yesterday evening? Was anything in particular that stood out for you with the rollout of the Walz pick?
Well, it seemed to go very smoothly, as you expect it would. The one thing that stands out to me, kind of a fact that I personally think is very interesting, when he was a high school teacher, in the very same year, he coached his high school football team to a state championship and was the faculty advisor to his high school's Gay Straight Alliance. So, you know, it's something that would have seemed hard to imagine 40, 30, even 20 years ago. You know, somebody who is so many things to so many people.
That occurs in the mid-90s.
And,
as well. So at
yeah,
a time when...
This was unheard of at
right,
the time. And very, considered very risky.
Yes. And so, and that state championship, I believe, coming 3 years after the team had zero wins.
Wow.
So taking over a program, from my understanding, that went from 0 and however many games they played that season to just a short 3 year period later winning the Minnesota State Championship. Very interesting to see. Yes, he is a football coach. Those remarks from Vice President Kamala Harris were clear, referring to him several times yesterday in Philadelphia at the rally, announcing him as the VP pick, referring to him as Coach Walz.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other references made yesterday at the rally, and it will be interesting to see if these remarks continue on the stump going forward, but Vice President Harris referencing, if you compare Walz's record with Vance's record, we've got the varsity squad versus the JV squad. Mr. Zommers, if you want to play it for the people, this was at the Temple University rally announcing Vice President Kamala Harris's pick as Tim Walz for her running mates in Philadelphia last night.
In fact, when you compare his resume... to Trump's running mate. Well, some might say it's like a matchup between the varsity team and the JV squad.
So those are some of the remarks on the stump yesterday. Trygve, your response to kind of that comparison of records between the Republicans' pick for vice president and the Democrats.
Well, I think at the end of the day, in places like Michigan and Wisconsin, you're seeing an Ohio venture capitalist being what the Donald Trump and MAGA version of of the party believe is the Midwest versus a former school teacher and Marine or Army. I think he was in the Army, governor of the state, and that, you know, who likes to hunt. So I can't imagine that that contrast won't be clear to people.
And that contrast is going to be made in campaign ads, and in whether or not we're going to see a vice presidential debate. That contrast, I think, is going to be very interesting to see. And these stump speeches.
I think even more important than that, I mean, people in the states of Wisconsin and Michigan are going to see these people face-to-face, like people in Eau Claire are today.
Well, and, seemingly not all of
them.
So the
they're going to be making that comparison that way.
And not all the individuals trying to get into the Vance event taking place in Eau Claire this afternoon are able to get in face-to-face contact with him, as they may have been believed it was available, according to that reporting by Civic Media's Melissa Kay up in Eau Claire this afternoon. And so, yes, here in Wisconsin, in swing states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, these candidates are going to be attending these events, holding these events, going to the small town diners, the possible football games of high schools across the state. Like, that is a real possibility. I can see a former high school coach really gleaning at the opportunity to go and talk to some voters at a Friday Night Live event, Friday Night Lights event. And so it'll definitely be interesting to see on the stump. Some of the other sound that we have from the event yesterday. Again, you are listening to Civic Media special event coverage. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this afternoon. This from the event that they took place in Philadelphia yesterday with the announcement of Walz as the running mate. We've got some more sound from Vice President talking about, Terry, with the situation that you alluded to, Walz stepping up for some of his students back in the 90s. Mr. Zommers, if we can play this clip for the people.
Tim wasn't only a role model on the football field. Around that same time, Coach Walz was approached by a student in his social studies class. The young man was one of the first openly gay students at the school and was hoping to start a gay-straight alliance. At a time when acceptance was difficult to find for LGBTQ students, Tim knew the signal that it would send to have a football coach get involved.
So that, Terry, alluding to the remarks that you saw stand out to you at the campaign event taking place in Philadelphia yesterday afternoon. I think it's also not only the history and the background that Walz has as a educator in Minnesota, represented a pretty middle of the ground congressional district when it came to his time before governor, spending it in Congress, not necessarily hailing from an area around the Twin Cities, but a little bit more rural, a little bit more moderate congressional district. Your thoughts on
that's a district that has elected a wide variety of different viewpoints for the U.S. representatives. So that's, that's an excellent and an interesting point. I'm also getting word that, according to our reporting, the reporting that we're seeing, that they are waiting for the J.D. Vance event to wrap up before this one starts. Not sure the thinking behind that, but that is what is going on at the Harris rally. As far as I know, I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, but that's the word I'm getting.
All right. An interesting interesting tactic, if that's the case. Trigvi, your thoughts on kind of starting if you're having dueling rallies, so waiting for the others to conclude before you start your own.
Yeah, you know, in normal times, I would say that that's just the two campaigns giving deference to one another. I'm not sure that that's the case now. I mean, I've worked on plenty of campaigns, certainly during primaries, where, you know, the campaigns are in contact and they agree after a primary who's going to speak when and not stepping on each other. In this particular case, I don't know that they're on that good of terms, but it probably makes sense to wait till he's done doing whatever he's doing.
All right. And we've got We are keeping an eye, folks. You are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Luke Mathers, joined in studio by news director Terry Bell and via the stream, Trygve Olsen. We are covering the events of Vice President Kamala Harris coming to Western Wisconsin for remarks with her newly decided running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. We are going to take a brief break and we will return with more.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch.
So. You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to Civic Media News special coverage of Vice President Harris and her running mate Tim Walz campaigning in Eau Claire. All eyes are on Western Wisconsin today. Also, the Republican running mate, J.D. Vance, speaking in Eau Claire earlier. Word is that he just wrapped up, so we anticipate the vice president and her running mate will be speaking soon. And also today, a very important day in Wisconsin. The latest Marquette poll has just been released, showing a virtual tie between the two candidates running for president. And not surprising, but still very important. So a lot is going on here in Wisconsin, and we're keeping you on top of all the latest developments. And judging by the appearances of things happening at the former Country Fest grounds in Eau Claire, sounds like that things will maybe be getting started soon. So I mentioned that Marquette Law School poll. Among registered voters, 50% support Donald Trump, 49% support Harris. Among likely voters, the same numbers, 50 for Trump, 49 for Harris. Poll was released just an hour or two ago. When polling for former President Joe Biden and Donald Trump, it was 42-47. So it's been a significant change since President Biden dropped out of the race. The poll surveyed 877 registered voters between July 24th and August 1st. Margin of error, plus or minus 4.6 percentage points, as there were 801 likely voters with a margin of error, plus or minus 4.8 points. Starting next month, the poll is going to start to emphasize likely voters as the November election draws closer, and we'll be very interested to see what happens there. We are awaiting the beginning of the Harris-Walz rally in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a spot just north of Eau Claire, where there used to be the grounds for Country Fest USA, a large outdoor festival grounds. And this is one of the rare outdoor events for Democrats this year. Most of them have been indoors. In fact, Joe Biden's one of his last campaign appearances was at a middle school gymnasium in Madison. So you can see just exactly how the dynamic of the race has changed just by the optics alone.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Terry, this afternoon.
Luke Mathers is here.
Yeah, and we are joined as well by Trygve Olsen, Senior Advisor of the Lincoln Project. Some of the numbers that will be interesting to take a look at in the polling, but we've got...
Les Danielson.
Now we'll go live into the event.
Born and raised in Kedah. I've been farming right here in the Chippewa Valley my entire life. In 1884, my great-grandfather, Dan Danielson, moved to the Chippewa Valley and homesteaded our original farm. My grandfather, William, continued on with the family farm, followed by my father, Wayne. Today, my two brothers and I all farm in the same area in Kedah, just over 20 minutes from here. My extended family still farm the same land my great-grandparents did, and we look forward to farming it for years to come. My wife, Deborah, and I purchased 700 acres of our own land and now grow 500 acres of corn, soybeans, and some hay. We built our grain setup and milk a small herd of cows. My story is a Wisconsin story, one of hard work and perseverance. And that's why I'm glad and excited that Vice President Harris's running mate is a lifelong Midwesterner. Just like me, who will always fight for working families and understands rural America. As a kid from Kedah, I'm very proud to stand on this stage today as we welcome the next president and vice president of the United States to the Chippewa Valley. Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz know that rural America is the backbone of our nation. It's family farms like mine that feed our country, and it's small businesses in towns like Kedah that keep our economy strong. But while Donald Trump was in office,
we are listening to comments made by Les Danielson, a farmer from Kedah, Wisconsin, who is seemingly going to be one of the last speakers at the event in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this afternoon, introducing Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Big oil and giant corporations. Not family farms, and he made it harder for us to compete. Together with President Biden, Kamala Harris has fought for rural communities, whether through fixing our roads and bridges so we can get products to markets, or fighting to expand affordable health care, or helping family farms like mine. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance just don't care about rural America, no matter how much they pretend to. That's why this November, I'm voting for Kamala Harris and Governor Walz. And now it's my honor to introduce our future Vice President, Governor Tim Walz.
Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers. We are covering the events of Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, speaking in Western Wisconsin this afternoon. Governor Tim Walz walking across the stage now, heading to the campaign event and going to be delivering his remarks shortly. He was just introduced by Wisconsin farmer Les Daniels, and we will hear remarks from Governor Walz, the newly selected running mate, shortly.
Wow. Hello, Eau Claire. Isn't it good to have a candidate who can pronounce the name correctly? So wow. Les, thank you. Thank you for the introduction. More importantly, thank you for articulating what we know it means to live out here in the Midwest. Care for your neighbors. Kindness. I want to acknowledge a few people today. Somebody who I have to tell you might be the kindest human being I have ever met, your governor, Tony Evers. A dear friend of mine who I had a chance to serve with in the House of Representatives, an incredible senator, Tammy Baldwin. the people's lawyer, your Attorney General, Josh Call. And someone who knows education is the foundation of everything, State Superintendent Jill Underley. All the state and local officials are here, but I want to say that point of personal privilege on this, I got a bunch of my family down here in the front, so. A couple of them are Badgers too, by the way. So, and a real special thank you to everybody here. Looking out across here, look, you're busy people. You got things to do. It's a summer day. You had to walk 2 miles. I had nothing to do with that, by the way, nothing. So, but you came here for one beautiful, simple reason. You love this country and this democracy. I couldn't be prouder to be on this ticket to help make Kamala Harris the next president of the United States. You know it. Vice President Harris is on the side of the American people. She took on predators, fraudsters, transnational gang members. She stood up against powerful corporate interests, and she never hesitated, not once, to reach across the aisle if it improved people's lives. Being a Midwesterner too, I know a little something about commitment to people. I was born in a small town in Nebraska where community meant everything. My mom and dad taught me to show generosity to my neighbors and work for a common good. At 17, I joined the Army National Guard. For 24 years, I proudly wore the uniform of this nation. And that service, just as it did for my dad, a Korean War era veteran, and millions of others, I got the GI Bill and it gave me a shot at a college education. My dad was a teacher. My siblings were all teachers. And three of them married teachers. It's noble work. I had the privilege of teaching public school, social studies, and coaching football for 20 years. And for all you Packer and Badgers fan, yeah, we did win a state championship. So it's what we do. But it was my students who encouraged me to run for office. I never thought that much about it, but they saw in me what I was hoping to instill in them. This idea of a commitment to a better world, a common good, a belief that one single person can actually make a difference. I lived in a red district, but my neighbors were kind enough and graced me with the opportunity to go to the United States House of Representatives for 12 years to represent them. I learned how to compromise without compromising my values. And as governor of the great state of Minnesota, I brought all that experience. Okay. Are there Minnesotans in the house today? Bringing that experience to tackling the challenges that we're facing our state. We don't shy away from challenges, but I'll tell you what, Donald Trump, he sees the world differently than we see it. He has no understanding of service. Because he's too busy servicing himself. Again and again and again. Again and again and again. This guy weakens our country to strengthen his own hands. He mocks our laws. He sows chaos and division amongst the people. And that's to say nothing of the job he did as president. He froze in the face of COVID, and it cost people's lives. He drove the economy into the ground. And make no mistake about it, violent crime was up when Donald Trump was president. Those of you who are a little older know this. Older Republicans used to talk about freedom. These guys today, it turns out that freedom to them means government should be free to invade your exam room with your doctor. Now look, we're pretty neighborly with Wisconsin. We get our friendly battles, but in Minnesota, just like in Wisconsin, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choices for ourselves, because we know there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business. Mind your own damn business. I don't need you telling me about our health care. I don't need you telling us who we love. And I sure the hell don't need you telling us what books we're gonna read. And there's a very personal one for me, and that includes IVF. Some of you might have heard this. This is very personal for my wife and I. When Gwen and I decided to have children, we went through years of fertility treatments. And I remember each night praying that the call was going to come and it was going to be good news. The phone would ring, tenseness in my stomach, and then the agony when you heard the treatments hadn't worked. So it wasn't by chance that when we welcomed our first child, our beautiful daughter, we named her Hope. When Vice President Harris and everyone here talks about freedom, we mean the freedom to make your own healthcare decisions. And for all of our little ones to be free to go to school without worrying about being shot dead in their classroom. And just like Wisconsin, over in Minnesota, we believe in the Second Amendment, but we also believe in common sense gun violence laws. And just so you know, when I was in Congress, I was the top gun at the trap shoot 3 years in a row. I can outshoot them too. I can outshoot these guys. Look, freedom is when freedom. Oh, can we get somebody to help? Somebody's hot. Somebody's hot. Can we get somebody to help? You okay? Drink some water, folks. It is hot out. Get somebody up.
Folks, you are listening to special event coverage. We've got Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the newly selected Democratic vice presidential running mate of Vice President Kamala Harris, addressing the crowd. It seems one of the attendees in the audience is without water. now we're getting some chants from the crowd as the governor ensures that the attendee at the rally is getting some water and is attended to. You're listening to this special event broadcast across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by News Director Terry Bell, covering the events taking
place.
Thank
you all for helping
this afternoon. We now return you to the
Thank
remarks.
You. Thank y'all. Take care of one another on this. This is why we gather. Look, it's hot. It is hot. I'll come again. They've got folks here. We'll make sure we're okay. But I have to tell you all again, in all seriousness, to come and gather like this, to talk about our freedoms, the ability to talk about what could be good. And I have to say, this idea of caring for our neighbor and kindness and a hand up when somebody needs it, or just the sense of that people go through things, and to be able to be there when they need it, that's who we are. It's not about mocking. It's not name callings. And you see it amongst them. Yay. Thank you all.
Sounds like the person in the crowd who may have suffered some sort of heat-related incident appears to be taken care of. There's applause from the crowd. Governor Walz taking some time from his speech to make sure that the person
Thank
in the crowd
all.
Is attended
we're
to.
We're okay. He's gonna,
I'm sure we'll hear more
down.
About that in the hours
him.
To come.
They're getting him some water, and it's good. He's going to get up. You guys need some water, too? We'll ask him. Teddy, can you see if they have some more water? That'd be great. Take care of your neighbors.
Yeah, a bit of one of those unscripted moments. We cover so many speeches that are very highly choreographed, and then you have a moment like this, and Governor Walz taking time from his speech
right,
to make
folks.
Sure the person
hey,
in the crowd is getting the care they need, and it sounds
say,
like
I don't want to be too
sounds like the person
the
is getting the attention
but
they need, and
too much over here on you.
The governor will resume
Look,
his
we'll
remarks.
Get, we'll get him taken care of. You know what this is about. This is about when they talk about the freedoms that we heard. And freedom in education means that our teachers aren't saddled with crippling debt when they go into this, that student loan debt. And I'll tell you what a big part of this is. We settle our political differences not through violence, but through our votes. The question is pretty simple. This election is all about asking that question. Which direction will this country go in? Donald Trump knows the direction he wants to take us. He wants to take it back. He wants to do the things that you saw, but be very clear. Don't believe him when he plays dumb. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He knows exactly what Project 2025 will do in restricting and taking our freedoms. He knows that it rigs the economy for the super rich. If he gets a chance to go back to the White House, it will be far worse than it was 4 years ago. Raising costs for the middle class, repealing the Affordable Care Act, gutting Social Security and Medicare, the very safety nets that protect people when they're down. And of course, banning abortions across this country, with or without Congress. This is where we talk to our neighbors. Donald Trump is not for you or your family. And Trump's running mate shares those same dangerous and backward beliefs. You know, just like all of us in regular America, we go to Yale, and then we have our careers funded by Silicon Valley billionaires, and then you write a book about the place you grew up, and you trash that place. Come on, that's not who Wisconsin is. That's not who Minnesota is. We're better than that. We're better than that. One of the best parts of this job is going to be, I can't wait till the debate. So, look, I've done this enough, and I know bullies, and I'm not a name caller, but what I am as a teacher, I observe things. So I want to tell you, what I observed and you've observed about these guys when you see them, that it's a very clear thing. Yes, they are creepy and weird as hell. You see it. You see it. This is not normal. This is not normal behavior. Nobody's asking for this crazy stuff. So I'll tell you what. You heard it from the vice president. You've heard her talk about this. We're sure the hell not going back. We're not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back. We damn sure aren't, but it's even more than that. This is a campaign about where we're going, and that's a future where everyone matters and everyone's included. Kamala Harris, she believes in the freedom to make your own choices. She believes in opportunity for every single person to join the middle class. And she believes in the promise of America. Thank you, Madam Vice President, for the trust that you've placed in me. Wisconsin, please help me in giving a warm Midwest welcome to the next President of the United States, Kamala Harris!
And now we'll hear from the top of the ticket, Vice President Kamala Harris, after Governor Tim Walz's remarks, talking about his background as a teacher, taking a few pokes at his opponent on the Republican side, both Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, remarks that went over well with the crowd. And now Vice President Kamala Harris making her way towards the podium at the former Country Fest USA grounds just north of Eau Claire. The day after Tim Walz was named Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate, and that the presidential campaign, if it wasn't already, is officially in full stride. And you're listening to this broadcast live from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, across the Civic Media Radio Network and online at civicmedia.us and your local Civic Media station. We'll hear shortly from Vice President Kamala Harris.
And our friends at Sevier Studios also letting us know it is 78 degrees there in Wisconsin, so it is a warm one, and why Governor Walz had to address
good
the crowd.
Good afternoon. Always good to be back. Good afternoon, everybody. Can we hear it for Tim Walz? Oh, I'm so happy to be running with him, let me tell you. So let me start by thanking Les, your words, your leadership, your voice. It's so important. Les, thank you for everything you are and everything you do for our country. And it is good to be with so many incredible leaders, including the most magnificent, wonderful Governor Tony Evers. Every time I come to Wisconsin, Tony meets me on the tarmac. He's such an incredible human being. I want to thank Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party Ben Wickler, and my dear, dear friend, Senator Tammy Baldwin. I served with Tammy when I was in the United States Senate, and I'm going to tell you, she was always, always, always fighting for the people of this state. And in November, we are going to re-elect her to the United States Senate. And please give it up one more time for Wisconsin's own Bon Iver. It's a good afternoon. It's a good afternoon. And let me say, I also want to bring greetings from our incredible President Joe Biden. He loves Wisconsin. He loves Wisconsin. And I know we are all deeply grateful for his lifetime of service to our nation and for all he continues to do. That's right. That's right. I'm going to tell him what you said. So, Wisconsin, this has been a big week. On Monday, I officially became the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. And yesterday, I announced my running mate in this campaign, Governor Tim Walz. And as you just heard and the Minnesotans here know, Tim has an incredible record as governor of the great state of Minnesota. And to those who know him best, Tim is more than a governor. To his wife, Gwen, he is a husband. To his kids, Hope and Gus, he is dad. To his fellow veterans, he is Sergeant Major Walz. To the people of southern Minnesota, for 12 years, he was a congressman. to his former high school students, he was Mr. Walls. And to his former high school football players, he was Coach. Coach. And in 90 days, the nation will know Coach Walls by a new title, Vice President of the United States of America. Oh, it really is good to be back in Wisconsin. So listen, let me tell you, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. And with your help, we will win in November. We are going to win. We are going to win. And I've been here many times, as you all know, recently and even before. And many of you know then, before I was elected Vice President, before I was elected United States Senator, I was an elected Attorney General, and before that, an elected District Attorney. And before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. So in those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women, fraudsters who ripped off consumers, scammers who broke the rules for personal gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's tight. I know he's tight. In fact, I've been dealing with people like him my whole career. For example, as Attorney General of California, well, hold on. You know what? The courts are going to handle that part of it. What we're going to do is beat him in November. So I'll tell you, as Attorney General, I took on one of our country's largest for-profit colleges that scammed students. Well, Donald Trump ran a for-profit college that scammed students. As a prosecutor, I specialized in cases of sexual abuse. Well, Donald Trump was found liable for committing sexual abuse. As Attorney General, I held the big Wall Street banks accountable for fraud. Well, Donald Trump was just found guilty of fraud. 34 counts. So in this campaign, I'll tell you, I will proudly put my record against his any day of the week. Any day of the week. But let's make no mistake, this campaign is not just about us versus Donald Trump. It's about two very different visions for our nation. Two very different visions. One for us, focused on the future. The other, focused on the past. And Wisconsin, we here, we fight for the future. We fight for a future where every worker has the freedom to join a union. Union strong!
Union strong! Union strong! Union strong! Union strong!
We fight for a future where every senior can retire with dignity. A future where we build a broad-based economy and one where every American has the opportunity to own a home, to start a business, to build wealth. And understand, in this fight, as Tim Walz likes to point out, we are joyful warriors. Yeah. Joyful warriors. Because we know that while fighting for a brighter future may be hard work, hard work is good work. Hard work is good work. And so we will continue to fight for affordable housing, for affordable health care, affordable child care, and paid leave. We believe in a future where we lower the cost of living for America's families so that they have a chance not just to get by, but to get ahead. Because while our economy is doing well by many measures, prices for everyday things like groceries are still too high. You know it and I know it. You know, when I was Attorney General, I went after price-fixing schemes. And when I am president, it will be a day one priority to fight to bring down prices. I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging. I will take on corporate landlords that unfairly raise rents on working families. I will take on big pharma and cap the cost of prescription drugs for all Americans. And continue to bring manufacturing jobs back to America and back to communities like Eau Claire. So all this is to say, strengthening our economy and building up the middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. Because you see, Coach Walz and I know when America's middle class is strong, America is strong. And as we work to move our nation forward, Donald Trump intends to take our nation backward. There is so much evidence of that point. There really is. But look at most recently, Project 2025 in that agenda. Project 2025, you know, if you have some time to take a look at it, I'm telling you, it is a plan to weaken the middle class. It is a plan to weaken the middle class. If he is elected, Donald Trump intends to give tax breaks to billionaires and big corporations. He intends to cut Social Security and Medicare. He intends to surrender our fight against the climate crisis, and he intends to end the Affordable Care Act. And because we all remember what it was like before the Affordable Care Act, we understand what that means. That's about taking us back to a time when insurance companies had the power to deny people with pre-existing conditions. You remember that? What that was like when we're not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back. But in order to know where we need to go, let's remember the past and what that was like. Because we cannot forget. On that point about the ACA, remember? People with pre-existing conditions being denied, children with asthma, breast cancer survivors, grandparents with diabetes. That was no joke. And we cannot go back. Ours has to be a fight for the future and a fight for freedom. A fight for freedom. Across our nation, we have been witnessing a full-on assault against hard-fought, hard-won freedoms and rights. The freedom to vote, the freedom to be safe from gun violence, the freedom to breathe clean air and drink clean water, the freedom to love who you love openly and with pride, and the freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body and not have her government telling her what to do. let's remember the traditions of our great country. Generations of Americans before us led in the fight for freedom. And now then, as they would expect, the baton is in our hands. The baton is in our hands, each and every one of us. So we then, who believe in the sacred freedom to vote, will finally pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act. We, who believe in the freedom to live safe from gun violence, will finally pass universal background checks, red flag laws, and an assault weapons ban. We, who believe in reproductive freedom, will fight for a woman's right to choose. And we remember that when he was president, Donald Trump handpicked 3 members of the United States Supreme Court, the court of Thurgood and RBG, because he intended for them to overturn Roe v. Wade. And as he intended, they did. And now more than 20 states in our country have a Trump abortion ban, many with no exceptions even for rape and incest. And if he wins, we all know he will sign a national abortion ban to outlaw abortion in every state, even in Wisconsin. But we are not going to let that happen. Because we trust women. And when I am president of the United States and when Congress passes a bill to restore the protections of Roe v. Wade, I will sign it into law. Took time out of your busy lives and days and all your obligations to come out here and to be together as one community. And I know you did it also because we all know, listen, so much is on the line in this election. It can't be said seriously enough. So much is on the line. And compounded with everything else that we knew was on the line, think about the fact that last month, the United States Supreme Court basically told the former president, who has been convicted of fraud, that going forward, he will be immune no matter what he does in the White House. Think about what that means and the changed circumstances since 16620 when you think about what that court decision means. Donald Trump has openly vowed if reelected, he will be a dictator on day one. That he would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies. That he would round up peaceful protesters and throw them out of our country. And even, quote, terminate the United States Constitution. So let us be clear. Someone who suggests we should terminate the Constitution of the United States should never again have a chance to stand behind the seal of the President of the United States. So, basically, I think it all comes down to this. We're all here because we love our country. We love our country. We love our country. And I do believe it is the highest form of patriotism to fight for the ideals of our country. And that's how we preserve the promise of America. Because after all, the promise of America is what makes it possible, by the way, for Governor Waltz and me to stand on this stage today. Just think about it. 2 middle-class kids, One, a daughter of Oakland, California, who was raised by a working mother and had a summer job at McDonald's. The other, a son of the Nebraska Plains who grew up working on a farm. Think about that. Only in America is it possible for them together to make it all the way together to the White House. Only in America. Only in America. So this is a fight to make real the promise of America for every person in our nation. And also, I'll tell you and I promise you, our campaign's going to reach out to everyone, from red states, from blue states, from the heartland to the coast. We are running a campaign on behalf of all Americans. And when elected, we will govern on behalf of all Americans. Because Coach Walls and I know, and we're clear about this, unlike the other side, we work for you. We work for you, the American people, and we will always fight for you, for your family, for your freedoms, and for your future. So Wisconsin, ultimately, this election is about a question that we each face. We each face a question in this election, and that is, what kind of country do we want to live in? Do we want to live in a country of freedom, of compassion, of rule of law, or a country of chaos, fear, and hate? And the beauty of our democracy is we each have the power individually. And collectively, we each have the power in a democracy to answer that question. The power is with the people. The power is with the people. So in the next 90 days, we need you to use your power. We need you to knock on doors. We need you to register folks to vote. We need you to energize and organize and mobilize and make your voices heard. And I'll tell you, about an hour ago after I landed on Air Force Two, I met a collection of young leaders from Girl Scout Troop 3307. Oh, they were spectacular. Oh, they were spectacular. None of them high, taller than 3 feet. They were spectacular. And one of those young leaders had a shirt on that said, "You are powerful and your voice matters." Right? From the mouths of babes, they're telling us. They're telling us. And so let's remember that. Let's remember our power. Let's remember our voice matters. And with that, then I ask, are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America? And are we ready to fight for it? And when we fight, we win! God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Vice President Kamala Harris speaking to a rather large crowd in just north of Eau Claire at the site of a former country music festival grounds. And, well, the second day of the kickoff of the Harris-Walls ticket and the campaign now in full swing, the two of them waving to a very large crowd of supporters, the biggest that by far that I can recall this year for a Democratic presidential stop, and a very enthusiastic crowd. Kamala Harris, who took over the reins of the ticket when President Biden stepped aside a couple of weeks ago. And Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, longtime congressman before that, and in his own backyard, literally, in western Wisconsin, just a hop from Minnesota, and a large and enthusiastic crowd. And setting a tone, Luke Mathers, I think we can expect to hear for much of the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, Terry, and I may be wrong, but this may be one of the largest events of the cycle so far for either side.
That could very well be.
So we have not yet got an official head count, but some of the overhead video looks that there may be in the thousands of how many attendees. Mr. Zommers, we do have an official head count?
Yes, according to James Kelly, our reporter on the scene, he says the crowd estimate from the campaign staff is 12,000.
12,000. I was guessing around 10, I think, when we were looking at that video.
Okay.
So I want to say,
who owes who a beer then?
No wagers. That was just my rough guess at the picture that I saw. So I really hope that you didn't send James out there with that clicker for all 12,000. But the sizable crowd for the event, as you said, the day after Walz was announced yesterday in Pennsylvania that he would be the running mate for Vice President Kamala Harris. And Terry, we also had news that when the Vice President plane touchdown in Eau Claire, J.D. Vance, the vice presidential nominee for the Republican ticket, touched down at the same time at the tarmac.
Wow.
So we saw some of the reporting earlier today. J.D. Vance came up to the press pool outside of Air Force Two and seemingly made reference to hoping that it would be soon his plane this time next year, or making those kind of remarks, but addressing the pool of reporters outside of Air Force Two, saying that they may have been lonely because the vice president, as he alleges, hasn't been taking questions very often in her time now as the presumptive Democratic nominee.
Some gamesmanship. I think we maybe can expect some more of that out on the campaign trail as the campaign goes on. And we're going to be hearing much more of the comments between what was said today at the Harris rally. We'll have more coverage of what J.D. Vance had to say to reporters early in Eau Claire, which was an event that apparently a lot of people got turned away from, or were it was a smaller, more closed event than some people anticipated. We'll be hearing more about that.
Including our own civic media, Melissa Kay.
Well, yes, there were the opportunity. I don't know how... you know, we as reporters care a great deal about things that maybe general listeners don't. But yes, we were declined our request for credentials to be inside the event.
Well, I think important to note that we tried to cover both
the
events
try.
In
we
person.
Did. Yes, we did.
And so this rally, a little bit of a different tone compared to the event that U.S. Senator J.D. Vance and Republican vice presidential nominee Vance held in Eau Claire this afternoon. So it's very telling. I think we're hearing portions of a stump speech for both of these candidates, both Governor Tim Walz and Vice President Kamala Harris, her being on the trail for the past 2.5 weeks now, about 17 days since becoming the presumptive nominee. Governor Walz, much shorter, briefer period, but similar remarks made today here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, as he made yesterday in Philadelphia. It's going to be interesting as these two, they now are going to be leaving Wisconsin, heading to other swing states, how the message resonates with voters, not just here in Wisconsin, but around the battleground states.
A part of the message I think we'll keep hearing is the vice president calling her running mate Coach Walz. I think that's how she's going to refer to him pretty generally from here on out.
I would not be shocked that if the circumstances made it themselves already, that a Secret Service code name may be in the works there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we want to thank everyone who hung in there with us all afternoon for our special coverage of the speech. Got started a little later than we thought, but we hope the analysis was definitely worth your while, and we hope we brought you some good information as well as some flavor of what was said today in Eau Claire. And, of course, our analysts, the devil's advocates, are standing by on many of our stations, and I'm sure they'll have plenty to say.
Yes, devil's advocate's going to be kicking off here on WMDX and Madison. The Maggie Dawn Show is going to be across the rest of the network for the remainder of the 3 o'clock hour with James Santel, former U.S. attorney, filling in for Maggie for that 3 o'clock block, with the Devils taking over for the Civic Media Radio Network beginning at 4. I want to thank Mr. Todd Alba and his efforts for broadcasting live from location this afternoon, as well as James Kelly, Civic Media reporter, and Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, Mr. Aaron Zommers, and everybody else that made this special broadcast go out.
For Luke Mathers, I'm Terry Bell. Thank you for joining our special coverage. We return you to our regular scheduled programming.